All right, lecture 8, we want to talk about creating leaders. Creating leaders. In some ways, this whole study is about leadership. Well, I guess Christian Leaders Institute is all about leadership. You know, in some ways, everyone that's taking a class at Christian Leaders is a leader or wants to be a leader. I mean, that's the whole point of all of this. And it's sort of interesting that God, I mean, God is the one who makes things happen, but he, in his goodness, decided to use people to make what he wants happening. And the way he does it is through leaders. Leaders who step out and say, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, follow. Leaders who prod, who poke, who make things happen. That's what you are. If you're taking this class, you are a leader. You're at least a leader enough to know that you want to learn about something. You have a desire. You have a sense of calling. You want to make a difference. That's the first step in being a leader. And then it's just learning, you know, how to do it in the different arenas and different ministries out there. How do I do this? How do I use the gifts that I have? So that's what you're doing. As a leader, you're learning how to do this with this class. But in some ways, you need to bake that same thing into how you lead. See, there are two ways to lead people. One way is to lead people in such a way that you stay the leader and your followers stay the followers, and that never changes. You're the leader. You're the one who knows. The people following you are the people that follow, and those are the ones who don't know. They cannot stand on their own two feet. They need you. And that's often the case in ministry. Leaders tend to want to lead. They like leading. They like helping people, but they can subtly keep people needing their leadership. You know what I'm talking about? In a family, you know, a father, mother, they have children. And then the children grow old and the parents do all the parenting and they're leading the kids. But at some point, biologically and socially and in every other way, the kids, like, want to get out. There's some need inside of them that says, I want to get out and do my own thing. I need, you know, and then they do. And sometimes the parents, you know, are forced into letting them go. But in ministry, sometimes there isn't that force. And some of the images we use, like shepherds and sheep, you know, the shepherd is the leader, the sheep are the ones following. The only downside of that metaphor is sheep never become shepherds. And so a lot of times ministry leaders never let their sheep become shepherds. So you have to fight against it. And the one way to fight it is to put leadership development in the very thing that you're doing, in everything that you do. All the leading that you do, you're always thinking, how am I helping these young people becoming leaders? That's my goal. It's not just to help them. It's not just to mentor them and disciple them. And tutor them. But it's, how do I help them do the same thing? You have to be aware of that from the very beginning. Okay. So, how do we do that? Number one, get all your youth walking with God in their personal lives, friendships, and groups. 1 Timothy 3:5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, their own circle of influence, how can he take care of God's church? get all of your youth walking with God, because that's the first step in becoming a leader. If you're not walking with God, you can't lead anybody else. If you're walking with God, you're at least taking the leadership role in your own life. A basic walk with God, prayer every day, reading the Bible every day, a devotional experience with God every day. And then teach young people to how to have a devotional experience with their friends, with the group. So in other words, getting them to own that, getting them to be able to do that. If you're the one doing all the prayer at the youth group, if you're the one doing all the Bible explaining at the youth group, well, then you're not helping them become leaders. Get them all walking with God. Some kind of Bible, you know, format that you're following, you know, a verse of the day. We're all following this verse of the day. Young people are taking ownership for their own walk outside of the youth group. And then when you get together in the youth group, you can say, how did it go? What verses spoke to you this past week? We all read the same thing every day. We read a different verse, seven different verses over the last 7 days. You know, how did it interact with your life? And now young people get to lead. They get to say how this verse impacted. They're doing a mini Bible study. And it's a Bible study that they prepared for. You didn't prepare it for them. They did. You gave them the verse. And they had to prepare their own little Bible study. You see what I'm saying? You have to get young people owning their own walk, not just owning the walk that you do once a week. You need kids in the Word of God every day. You need kids praying every day. You need kids worshiping God every day. It can't just be once a week at youth group. Youth group cannot be the substitute for young people not walking with God all week long. The youth group meeting should be the culmination of each kid's walk with God all week long. Do you know what I'm saying? If you don't hear anything else in this whole thing about starting or leading a youth group, this is the absolute number one most important thing. Let me put a big star. Write it down. Pause the tape right now and put this down. You can't let this go. Everything else will be lost if you don't do this. Number two. Make participation easy. It's the same thing. Ephesians 4:16, from him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's not about how much you do, it's about how much young people do. You have to delegate. You have to get people to, they're not very good at it. Well, yeah, they're youth. Get them doing it. Get them trying. Get them over their fears of failures. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Challenge, challenge, challenge. Help each youth discover his or her gifts and interests. Okay, this is what youth is all about, right? They don't know who they are. And the problem with most... Let me tell you the problem of most youth is they have, even though they haven't lived much life, they haven't had a lot of experiences, they have already limited themselves in who they are and their abilities. They've had very few experiences. They haven't learned all the things that they eventually are going to know, and yet they've already decided who they are. I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at sharing. I'm not very good at talking. I'm not very good at putting my thoughts into words. I'm not very good motivating people. I'm not very good at doing anything. A lot of young people, that's how they think. And they think this is the way it's going to be for the rest of their lives. It's just not true. I mean, I remember when I was in ninth grade, I was 15, and I was into sports. I was not into, you know, reading and dramas and English and, you know, all that stuff. Plays, sharing. No, I was into sports. Well, I went to a new school. It was a small school, and they had this reading contest thing where the small schools went to this, where all the big schools were. And I got forced into this reading contest where you had to write your own speech and then give it. I got forced into it. It wasn't because I did anything. I just got forced into it. And I was horrible. The teacher had me try it in front of the class, and I was a disaster. And that night before the big event is like in front of 200, 300 other kids, I'd have to give this speech. I thought, I'm going to make a fool out of myself. And so I decided that night, I'm going to make the biggest fool. If I'm going to make a fool of myself, I might as well go all out. So I practiced 3 times. I just let it go. And the next day I got up and I just let it go. I lost my place 3 times. And you know what? I won the contest. I won a contest in an arena that I thought I had dyslexia, I couldn't read very well. I'd read, you know, a paragraph, and at the end of reading it, I'd have no idea what it was about. I mean, I was not qualified for this kind of thing. But what I discovered is you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're good at. You have no idea. You may have failed over here, but if it's just slightly this way, you might succeed. Or maybe you failed when you were young, but now you're not. That something may have clicked. You have no idea what God is going to do with you. And gifts are gifts, by the way. Gifts are things that are just given to you. And before you didn't have the gift, but now you do. So how do you know what God is going to give you a gift in? Your job is to just go out there and try and fail and figure out where your gifts are. And that's the kind of atmosphere, okay? That's the kind of atmosphere that you need to give kids. Help each youth discover his or her gifts and interests. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one. There are plenty of youth who say, I am not gifted at anything. But that's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says, each one, a manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit is given to each one. You just need an atmosphere. You need people to help you discover it. See, and when you discover what you're good at, when you discover what you're interested in, when you discover what makes you passionate, see, that's the first step towards leading in that area. You can't lead in areas that you have absolutely no confidence in. Number 4, give youth hands-on opportunities. How are they going to learn what they're good at without trying? Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town, place where he was about to go. Now, 72. Now, Jesus spent a lot of his time with 12. Remember? The 12 disciples. Well, how much training do you think the 72 had? He sent them out. Why? Because when you get sent out, when you're told to go out and try something, even if you fail, you learn something. You learn who you are. You learn, even in a failure, in fact, we learn probably most in our failures. As a young person, I was sent out to Ogden, Utah, Mormon country. And I was on a team of young people, and they taught us how to do evangelism. And then they sent us out, 2 by 2. We had to go knock on somebody's door, someone I had never met before in my life, just knock on their door, and we were supposed to, you know, invite ourselves in and talk about the weather, you know, the carpeting, the pictures on the wall, and then at some point ask them about their spiritual life. I mean, it was crazy. It was absolutely nuts. And I'm not sure I recommend what we were taught, but I'll tell you, it was an experience. It got me out the door. It got me wondering what faith is. It got me wondering, how does one share one's faith? Is it a technique? Is it something that you memorize? Is it asking questions? You know, I learned over time, that's what it is. It's asking questions. It's finding out where people have a need. And then finding out if they want to do anything about that need. You're helping people do what they want to do. That's what evangelism is. Well, I didn't know any of that. I had no experience whatsoever, and I had to start somewhere. And so it was the youth group thing that helped, that just threw me into the water. And I almost drowned in the water. But eventually I learned how to swim. Number five. Recognize and celebrate achievements of your youth. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus recognized his disciple Peter. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Peter did something. He did something that sounded like he was a leader. And Jesus recognized it. He said, I see what's going on here. Peter, you're a rock. That's what Petros means. It means rock. You acted like a rock in this circumstance. See, young people, you have to always understand that young people don't know who they are. And, you know, you can't just say to a young person, discover who you are inside yourself, because how do you do that? You discover who you are by the surroundings that you're in. By what's going on, by the encouragement and challenge of leaders around you. That's how you discover who you are. Someone gives you a challenge and you respond, did I do okay or didn't I? You look at a young kid. You know, they're at the pool and they make a dive, and when they enter the water, the first thing they do is look at dad or mom. How'd I do? Well, don't you know how I did? Don't you know how you did? No, I don't know. I have no idea how I did. I only know how I did in your eyes. Young people don't know who they are, and all they can see is the reflection that comes from your eyes. So encouraging. How do young people know they're any good at anything without encouragement? That was great. That was wonderful. And judge them by where they're at. A young person gets up and tells their testimony. You don't judge their speaking ability by, you know, how it compares to your pastor. How was that for a 12-year-old? That was great. Man, you did wonderful. You're good at this. See, and over time, they will get better and better and better. We do this instinctively with little kids. They're learning how to walk, and we celebrate every little step they made. They made two steps and then fell. We go, wow, it's amazing. Why? Because we just want them to go for three, and then four, and then five. So we get it when kids are really young. We don't get it when they get a little older. We expect them somehow to go from children to adults magically, and they don't. There's all these steps along the way. So two things: give them challenges, give them opportunities to try stuff, and then encourage them. Encourage. We tend to want to point out how they could improve. Okay, you did pretty good, but let me give you a few pointers to improve. Well, of course they could improve. They're just starting out. You don't do that with a 2-year-old. You know, you took two steps. Let me tell you how you can make that three. It's a balance thing. You know, your balance was just off. You know, you got your hand, you got to swing it. You know, no, we don't go into all that detail. We just encourage them. That's it. Keep doing it, because you know what? You'll learn on your own for the most part. So don't spend all your time giving kids your secrets to how they can do something better. Encourage them to keep trying. The goal is to have them keep trying. They will improve on their own. Number six. Help youth lead from knowledge. 1 Peter 3:17, 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless, fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Knowledge. So one of the things that you want to give youth is knowledge. They need to know, you know, they need to know John 3:16. Okay, they should memorize it. They should be able to say the Lord's Prayer. They should know some songs by heart. They should know the basic doctrines of the Bible, who God is, why Jesus had to die on the cross, the role of the Holy Spirit, what the church is all about, the basic history of the Old Testament, you know, the basic breakdown of the Bible, you know, the letters of Paul, the Gospels, the story of the early church, the book of Acts. They should know these basic things. When they leave your tutelage, they should know certain things. Maybe even some church history, the broad strokes. What happened in the early church? What happened when Rome made Christianity the official religion? How the church kind of, you know, went south during the Middle Ages, and how and why the Reformation was needed, and what were the tenets of the Reformation? You know, scripture alone, faith alone. The big themes, missionaries, some of the, you know, the heroes of the faith that went out spreading the gospel. These are the heroes of this. They know the basketball heroes and the soccer and football heroes. Shouldn't they know if they're going to follow? If this Christianity thing is going to drive their lives, then shouldn't they know these basic things? So if you teach them these things, teach them how to do a Bible study, teach them how to help someone else come to know the Lord, teach them how to help someone learn how to pray. See, you know, I've been saying all those things in a way, you know, leading up to this, that you teach in such a way that you're helping them become the teachers. It's all about teaching and learning. So, you know, be thinking about what are the basics that these kids should have. And maybe they don't know what they're going to do with some of this stuff, but it will stick with them the rest of their life. All right, so again, make leaders, it's the most important job that you have, and we'll see you again next time.